Hello and welcome back to another Nikon podcast. As you can probably hear, we're right in the heart of things at the Photo Plus Expo in New York, reporting live from the show floor. If you want to check out any of our previous podcasts, you can go to press.nikonusa.com and download those. Don't miss the last one with Jim Reed. Really amazing tornado chaser. Incredible audio-visual mashup. Today, very excitingly, we've got two special guests, and I'm going to wrangle them off the show floor to take some time to talk to us. Steve Heiner, Nikon's tech guru, who's going to explain some of our new products, and Corey Rich, the Ne Plus Ultra of adventure photographers. We are here right now at Photo Plus Expo in New York, and we're coming to you live from just off the show floor. I've got two special guests, and of course, my first one, my favorite special guest ever, is Steve Heiner, Nikon guru. Hey, Steve, how are you?
Very good. How are you, Mark?
I'm good. It's very exciting. We've got a lot to talk about, so
yeah,
rattle through it.
Welcome to the show.
So we've got an awful lot of stuff going on at Photo Plus. SLR, Coolpix, Nikkor lenses. We've got a lot to cover. We're going to cover the Nikon DSLR and lens announcements, the D7000. We've got the P7000, and basically 2010, year of Nikkor, because of all the lenses.
It has. It's been unprecedented. I've been here 25 years. I can never remember a year where we introduced so many fantastic lenses.
And we're going to talk about the lenses in a little bit more depth in a moment. But I do want to check in. Steve, you have this amazing life. Tell me where you've been recently. You've been in Albuquerque, right?
In fact, I just got back from the balloon fiesta there, which I also had not done for 25 years. It was fascinating to sort of bookend that event by 25 years. It was truly remarkable. And, of course, what a fantastic place to shoot pictures. I was using as many lenses as I could, running around like a maniac. It was a blast.
So, but one question I have to ask, has the technology on balloons changed in 25 years?
Not a lot. It hasn't changed in 1,200 years. I don't know.
Well, we've got a lot of hot air today. We want to talk an awful lot. And we're going to talk about specifically about the DSLRs. And here we are at Photo Plus in New York. And the real star of the Nikon booth is the D7000. Tell me, why is everyone so excited about it? What is there that makes it so great?
Mark, I think this camera really hits a note because it lands right in the middle of our lineup of DSLRs that appeals to photographers who are not only advancing in their photography, who are serious enthusiasts, but now we're going to start to see, yet again, professionals and semi-professionals using a camera that's right in the middle of our lineup.
It basically is a reminder that there's a bridge between the pros and the enthusiasts that's stronger than ever.
That's
because
true.
Technology has made it much more flexible and given people the chance to take a look. I mean, video, for example.
That's a perfect example. The D7000 really excels. For the first time now, we have in not only the D7000, but in the D3100, which was introduced just before it, these two cameras now shoot a full HD 1080p at 24 frames a second, so it has that very cinematic look. You have in the D7000, for the first time in an Nikon camera, total manual control over your exposure in movie mode, but best of all, in both of these two new SLRs, we have full-time AF. This is a major plus for anybody who's shot any video on a DSLR will appreciate the ability to not have to pay attention to the focus manually. Mm-hmm. The camera will constantly update the focus while you're actually in live view or recording a movie so that you don't have to worry. And the best part is, if you're photographing, or I should say taking a movie of people, it has face priority. So not only will it maintain focus, it can find all the faces in the frame and maintain focus on those faces. So there's a lot of versatility now, which just didn't exist in a generation before.
So Steve, I have to ask, a show like this is like an unofficial focus group, and you get a real sense of the products that are really hitting with people, speaking to them. What are you hearing the buzz about? I bet it is the P7000, yes?
Oh, no doubt, yeah. I mean, people have been waiting a long time for us to introduce a camera just like this one. And especially at a crowd like this, where we tend to see people who are photo enthusiasts, mm-hmm. who know about photography, otherwise they wouldn't come to the show, really. This is a camera that appeals to that type of photographer. For somebody who is using almost any level of digital SLR camera, they're used to a certain feel and a certain level of controllability of that camera. The P7000 offers that same sort of analog control. And as you can see, I've got one right here. Mm-hmm. You notice that there are a lot of analog dials on this camera, which operate all of the essential functions of this camera without you having to dig into the menu. So they're right there on the surface. awesome little camera, 10 megapixel, 7x zoom lens, the equivalent of a 28 to 200 millimeter lens, built right into a small little chassis that you can easily slip into your pocket. Yep. Shoots 720p movies also. Incredible still photographs.
And just about could probably slip into, you know, a smallish bag. I mean, yeah. It's still quite mobile.
For someone who's used to shooting an SLR, mm-hmm. who doesn't want to perhaps carry it to a social affair, it still distinguishes you as a more serious photographer. There's got to be that element to it as well.
Aside from the cameras, this year, year of Nikkor, 9 announcements about lenses. It's easy to dismiss the idea of a lens making a difference. Explain to me what they facilitate. Why should people care about those lenses?
Well, the lenses really are the eyes of your photography. Everything you put in front of your camera is the most important aspect in maintaining image quality, mm-hmm. whether you're shooting stills or shooting movies. Nikon, of course, has been world-renowned for many, many, many years in making the best glass in the world, yep. and thus the best lenses. So when we introduce lenses like the 28 to 300, the 85 1.4, these are lenses that have very specific intents in mind. For instance, the 85 millimeter 1.4 is a perfect portrait lens.
Because it's so speedy, or?
Having that large aperture, that 1.4 aperture, allows a great deal of light, but the side benefit of that is what we call, more recently, bokeh. Yes. Or the out-of-focus part of the image, the shallowness of the depth of field is very, very attractive to people. And this lens, like other wide-aperture lenses, this is intrinsic in their design. So a lens like that immediately is attractive to portrait photographers, anybody who shoots in really low light who wants to isolate their subject against the background.
And the 28-300 lens, that's a great one for walking, shooting. Why is that so good?
Absolutely. I know we've talked about the DX format 18 to 200 millimeter lens in the past, and that mm-hmm. is absolutely one of the best-selling lenses in Nikon history. We wanted to actually make a similar focal length range for our FX format
yep.
camera shooters. So by making a 28 to 300, which is essentially the same focal length as the 18 to 200 on a DX format, we give them in a small compact package, in a small lens, relatively small lens, the ability to do everything from wide angle to super telephoto photography all in one chassis. It is the perfect travel lens, without a doubt.
The 24 to 120 lens, that's a really good wedding lens, yeah? So what would you say that would be for?
Not only a good wedding lens for location, but also in the studio. We've made this one an f4 aperture throughout its range. So someone who is shooting with studio strobes, for instance, or under fixed light conditions, does not have to worry when they zoom from wide angle to telephoto that the aperture is going to change. But the focal length range is just perfect for intimate type of photography.
If anyone wants more detailed specs on any of those lenses, it's all at press.nikonusa.com. Again, Steve, I feel like I've kept you away from evangelizing about Nikon for long enough. I want to let you get talking to other people. But thank you as ever for taking a little time.
It's always a pleasure, Mark. Thanks.
Of course, here at Photo Plus, Nikon's presence really marked by a big booth and the Learn and Explore Theater, which is a reminder that this show isn't just about equipment and tech. It's about the great minds that are drawn here that you really get a chance to talk to, interact with, get tips from. At the Learn and Explore Theater, people like Cliff Mountner, Joe McNally, when you want to talk about weddings, you want to talk about lighting, those are the guys you talk to. And frankly, the person you want to talk to if you've got any adventure in your soul is Corey Rich, who I have dragged away from talking to the show attendees to talk to me. Hey, Corey, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me here.
Are you having fun at Photo Plus?
It is a great break. I always love coming to the city.
I was going
to
say, wearing real shoes.
I spend enough time in tents and in weird hotel rooms that being in New York City is a huge treat.
So you have to tell me, where is the latest place that you've been that the rest of us will never get to go? Tell me something to be jealous about. What's your last exotic locale?
Sure. Well, the last month of my life has been back-to-back trips. And I think the exotic locale was I did a trip to Kekatui National Geologic Park in northwestern China on the Mongolia border.
Wow.
And we did an exploratory trip to figure out what kind of rock climbing possibilities existed in that part of the world. And we were blown away by what we walked into. We were the first climbers ever to enter the park.
Literally ever.
What were you shooting there? Were you there to shoot video, or what were you trying to capture? Tell me some of the things you caught.
You know, my job is to document the adventure. That's really my job. And more, we're living in a time when technology is allowing me to do two things, not just bring back the still photo story, but also bring back the motion story of these adventures. So I was really tasked with, I think I'm a modern day storyteller. I think it's the buzz upstairs in this event is this idea that we are now visual storytellers, not just still photographers, not just filmmakers, but we do both. And so in China, I was doing both. I was shooting a 5-minute film as well as shooting all of the still photos to support the
using a D3S, I presume? Or?
Correct. Most of the time, the D3S, I always bring a couple of the D300S. It's a great smaller backup body, although I think the tides are about to change. I have a huge smile on my face with the D7000.
You're excited to get your hands on that, too.
Excited's an understatement, actually. Excited.
Now, talking of excitement, so you come back from China, and I presume you drove straight to your next assignment. It wasn't even time to unpack. What did you do straight after China?
That's no exaggeration. I traveled for about 36 hours from the time we left the park until I landed in Reno, Nevada. And then I got in a car and I drove to Yosemite National Park, slept for about 4 hours, and the next night I was sleeping in a portal ledge about 500 feet up on El Capitan.
And so, why were you there? You were there obviously for work. Were you shooting?
That was another exciting project. And this plays to this idea of our careers are changing. Certainly my career is changing. I really put on a different hat for my Yosemite assignment. I was the director of photography on a documentary film. We were using five other camera operators, and we shot the entire project on DSLRs.
Why?
And the look and feel of the cameras. I mean, part of it is just simply the look. Like, you know, a D3S with a wide-open lens looks fantastic at 24 frames per second. Mm-hmm. And the other piece, which is the form factor. I mean, hanging on a rope 1,000 feet off the ground trying to tell a story, it's pretty darn nice to be able to have something that really fits in your hands and fast lenses, for example. You know, in a documentary film environment, you shoot regardless of what the light is doing. And so in the morning and the evening tends to be when everyone is hanging out in camp or on the portal ledges. So the 24-1.4 and the 35-1.4 are huge attributes as a filmmaker in those environments to shoot in low light.
Well, I feel almost guilty keeping you here in New York City. I feel like I want to send you off somewhere else exotic. Thank you so much for taking some time. Of course, people can find more of your work at coreyrich.com, which is coreyrich.com, yeah?
That's right.
Thank you so much, Corey.
Thanks. My pleasure.
So I've taken enough time away from the show. I want to get back inside. I'm going to let my guests get onto the show floor and play around with a few more products. If you do have any questions based on what we've talked about, especially all those lenses, you can check out the specs at press.nikonusa.com and, of course, the contact information of the team at MWW if you have any follow-up questions.